And get your Bibles in hand, and I tell you what, we had good attendance this morning. Like I said, had Lord bless us, God bless His presence, and I hope He'll do the same tonight. I believe He will tonight. I'm trusting Him for it. We sing that old song, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down," and I believe that's true today as it's ever been. Our time here is in vain. If the Lord doesn't intervene. Amen. If we don't hear from Jesus tonight, we had no business being here. And I often have this thought go through my mind, is that I believe oftentimes we're surprised when God works on us and moves across our midst in a service. We leave out going, "Man, that was a good service," or "Man, the Lord really worked," or "Man, that was just, praise the Lord, the pews were about coming off the ground." And we treat it as though that's something that is surprising. Something that is odd. I believe really we ought to be surprised when God doesn't move. Amen. We ought to get shocked when the Lord doesn't work. So shocked we get to praying for it. We get to seeking it more. And I believe every single time we show up here to Ball Road Baptist Church, we ought to be able to leave saying, "God worked on my heart. God spoke to me. And I've been changed more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so I hope we'll be able to say that very thing tonight. If you got your Bible there with you, open up with me to Hebrews chapter 1. New Testament, book of Hebrews, and we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 1 this evening. And just going to read a few verses, and then we'll take our thought. Now, I'm going to start here reading in verse number 1, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we're not going to be turning around very much, not like we did this morning, but we are going to be looking all across this chapter and chapter 2 tonight with the thought that the Lord's given me to preach on. And so we're going to begin right here at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 1, but that may not be exactly where we end up tonight. And so I want you to look here with me. If you're there in Hebrews chapter 1, go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
All right. That sounds like most of you, so either that or some of you are throwing your voice pretty good. But either way, we'll go ahead and start reading. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for the salvation that we found in Christ Jesus. Lord, I look out here at this world and how dark it is, and I think, Lord, that I was once lost in that very darkness. Lord, I look at all the religion that this world has got a hold of, and Lord, every single one of them leading down the same road to hell. And Lord, I was once on that road. But Lord, I'm so thankful for the day You found me. And You showed me Jesus high and holy and lifted up. You showed me that He would save my soul if I would only believe on Him. And Lord, I just want to thank You tonight for a day in my life where You gave me enough sense to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, I realize tonight that this is a Sunday night crowd. Most everyone in here at least claims to know You as their Savior. But Lord, You're the only one that knows our hearts. And Father, if there be anyone here tonight who's lost, Lord, they're dead in trespasses and in sins. Father, I pray tonight You might show them their lost condition. Lord, make the gospel real to them. May they hear it and believe it clearly tonight and be saved by the grace of God. But Lord, I pray this evening, most importantly, that Jesus Christ would have the preeminence. I pray that we might effectively lift up His name. And Lord, You've promised that if He is lifted up, that He would draw all men unto Himself. And I pray that very thing would take place tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, amen. Amen. In Colossians chapter 2, the Bible gives us a warning to let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Now that might seem strange to you and I who are saved to think that anybody would ever worship an angel, and yet the truth of the matter is that that is a common occurrence out here in this old lost world that we find ourselves living in. Many false religions in this world have the teaching that we ought to pray to angels and that we ought to worship angels. As a matter of fact, Catholicism teaches that very thing. Islam actually teaches a variation of that teaching. And even modern-day Judaism kind of has an over amount of reverence and worship toward the angelic host. And yet you and I who are saved, we know far better. We know that we ought not to worship anything but the true and living God. But you know, you think about that lost Jew. You think about that lost Roman Catholic. And to them, the appearance of an angel is the very closest thing to the Lord that they could ever hope to see. And they have good reason for believing that, actually. I mean, if you didn't know Jesus Christ, you would have every reason in the world, even from the Bible, to think about worshiping and lifting up angels. You say, well, why, preacher? Well, because in the Old Testament and in the Bible, angels often appeared to men and women all throughout this precious book. We're told back in the Old Testament that Abraham entertained angels unaware that very day before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. We're told in Genesis 32 that Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. And of course, that was the day that his name was changed to Israel. We find in the book of Judges that an angel appeared to Samson's mother and father and foretold the message that Samson would be a Nazarite from his birth and told them of his birth and of his life. As a matter of fact, you go a little further into the Old Testament and you'll find that the Bible describes an angel that in one night slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers just because God's people prayed and asked God to send the deliverance. Can I say tonight, an angel is a glorious and a very powerful being. We learn that from the Word of God. And so I'm not baffled as to why some people would be deceived into worshiping angels. I can see why they give in to that temptation from time to time. But to one who does know the Lord Jesus Christ, to one who understands the grace of God and the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, I believe we ought to know better. And right here in verse number 4, I believe we can see one of the great reasons why. See, the Bible says there that Jesus, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Tonight I want to take a look at that thought and I want to preach to you on this subject, Jesus Christ better than the angels. Jesus Christ better than the angels. Now right here in Hebrews chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 2, I want to show you tonight several areas and several reasons why Jesus Christ is said to be better than the angels. Now let me just go ahead and preface this by saying that I realize that if you're saved tonight, you understand very well that Jesus is better than the angels. Because you know that that Bible says Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is the very express image of God the Father. Amen. And so we know tonight who Jesus is. But just in case, maybe tonight you've lost sight of who He is. Maybe tonight you've lost a little sight of His glory. It is my hope and my prayer that God will show you just how great and how mighty and how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. Now, the first thing I want to show you tonight, I want to say, first of all, that Jesus Christ is better than the angels in His name. By His very name, He is greater and better than the angels. It told us right there in verse number 4, it said Jesus is better because He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, although the angels are spoken of all throughout the Bible, and we learn a lot of things about angels in the Bible, there is actually not very often, it's actually true that very often we are not given the names of the angels who are being spoken of in the Word of God. And yet there are a few exceptions to that rule. We're told that one of the angels in the Word of God goes by the name of Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel that is most associated with delivering the Lord's messages. If you find him back in the Old Testament, you'll find him in the book of Daniel delivering one of the great prophecies, one of the great messages that God wanted to give to that prophet. If you find Gabriel in the New Testament, you'll find him speaking to a young virgin by the name of Mary, foretelling that she would give birth to the Christ child. She'd be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the messenger of the Lord. That's Gabriel. But then we find another angel mentioned by name, and that is none other than Michael, the archangel. As a matter of fact, he's the only angel that is described as being an archangel. The Bible said that he's the one which standeth for the children of the Lord's people. That's Israel, friend. And so every time you find Michael, it just so seems that he is connected to Israel and he is defending Israel from the attacks of the devil. As a matter of fact, we're told in the book of Jude that Michael the archangel withstood Satan, but he would not bring a railing accusation against him. And so outside of those two, we're really not given the names of any angels. But their names do have a very great meaning. You see, that name Gabriel is a Hebrew name. And in Hebrew, his name basically means God is my strength. Can I say tonight that any Christian mama or Christian daddy sitting in here, well, I believe would be proud to have a baby boy to be able to name Gabriel, God is my strength. I believe each and every one of us would want that to be said of our child, that they found strength in the Lord. Well, that's the very meaning of the name Gabriel. You know what the name Michael means? It's also a Hebrew name. It means who is like God, or he who is like God. My, what a privilege it must be for that archangel to be named as being one who is like the Lord, one whose very nature, one whose very attributes mirror those of his Creator. Thank God for it tonight. Amen. And yet both of these names, as glorious and as great as they may be, they pale in comparison to the name of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, every name on this earth, I don't care if it's from A to Z or from Alpha to Omega, every single name on this earth pales in comparison. It is literally nothing when laid alongside the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For you see, that name of Jesus means Jehovah saves. That's that the Lord saves. And can I say tonight that to you and I who are saved by the grace of God, I believe that each and every one of us can say amen to that, that Jesus is Lord and that he loves unworthy sinners like you and me, that he came into this world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Thank God tonight that that name of Jesus literally means that God, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, saves sinners like you and me. Oh, friend, he's called Jesus. That means Jehovah saves. But he's called Emmanuel. That is God with us. I say tonight, thank God not only does he save us, but I'm glad he's in control of us. He's in control of every raindrop that falls on this earth. He's in control of every sun ray that gleams down upon this ground. He's in charge of every single thing that comes your way and my way, because he is Emmanuel, God manifest in the flesh, God with us. I say, friend, what a lovely name the name of Jesus is. See, you see, friend, though Michael is a good name, no man is ever going to bow down to the name of Michael in eternity. Though Gabriel is a great name, yet in eternity not one person will ever sing the praises of the angel Gabriel. But the Bible said God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I say tonight, what a lovely name. What a glorious name, the name of Jesus. And tonight, friend, I want to say he's better than the angels in his name. But then I also see tonight that he's not only better than the angels in his name, but he's better than the angels in his position, in his sonship, if you will. Now you say, well, preacher, that doesn't make much sense. What do you mean he's better in his sonship? Well, you might say, well, preacher, I thought Jesus is the only Son of God. How could the angels have any sonship? Well, that's where the Bible has to come in. See, the truth is that the Lord has many sons. I can go ahead and repeat that tonight in case some of y'all didn't get it. The Lord has many sons. Now, before you all cut me off and start saying, oh, no, he's preaching heresy, let me just go ahead and explain to you what I mean from the Word of God. Now, are you saved here tonight? If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, those of you who are saved, those of you who just said amen, let me ask you, are you a son of God?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you know you are. Over there in John 1:12, you know what that Bible said? Ladies, this goes for you too. I hate to break it to you, but you ain't a daughter. You're a son.
Right.
And over there in John 1:12, he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. Now, have you believed on his name?
Amen.
Have you received him as your Savior?
Amen.
Y'all still with me tonight? Have you received him as your Savior?
Amen.
Then you are a son.
Amen.
1 John 3:1. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm so thankful tonight to be called a son of the true and living God. But I tell you, not only are we called sons, but those angels are called sons. They're called the sons of God. You say, well, really, preacher, you believe all that? Well, absolutely, I do. Back in the book of Job, right there in Job chapter 1, the Bible said that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. That's that angelic host. And so if we are the sons of God and the angels are the Son of God, then what is the big difference between Jesus and us? The Bible said he is the Son of God. Well, there is one great big difference. Can I show you what it is?
Yeah.
Look there in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5. For unto which of the angels did he say, said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I what? 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 Begotten thee. I want you to hang on to that word begotten for just a moment. He goes a little further. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the what? First begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
Amen.
You say, well, what's the big difference? If we're all sons of God and Jesus is the Son of God, doesn't that put us on the same level as him? Absolutely not. You see, Jesus is the only one who can say he's begotten. He's the only one that came down from heaven and robed himself in human flesh. He's the only one who can claim to be God in the flesh. He's the only one who was virgin born. He is the only begotten of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
amen,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, oh, preacher, what's that have to do with? Well, if you got you an NIV Bible, you know what it says right there in John 3:16? It doesn't say only begotten. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's an L-I-E lie. He ain't the one and only Son. You're a son.
Amen.
I'm a son. The angels are sons. But he is the only begotten Son of the true and living God. Hey, friend, I believe tonight that he is better in his name. And he is better in his position. He's better in his sonship. But then thirdly tonight, I see that Jesus is better than the angels in his message. Now, you got your Bible right there in Hebrews chapter 1. Look over at chapter 2 and verse 1. I like this. Y'all may not get much out of it, but I like old chapter 2 here in the book of Hebrews. He said in verse number 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now, right there, what did he just say? He said the angels bore a message, didn't they? He said, the word spoken by angels. And he said it was a steadfast word. And he said, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I want to say here, friend, that he's better than the angels in his message. You see, there are several messages that angels carried and gave in this Bible.
Back when Lot was living in Sodom, two angels came down there to meet him and greet him. And they told Lot, they said, "Brother, you need to repent. You need to get out of this city as fast as you can, because God is about to rain down fire and brimstone on the very place where you're living. Get your wife, get your daughters, get your son-in-laws, and get out of town just as fast as possible." By the way, that's a good message. An angel carried that message.
Amen.
And what a message it is. We still need to preach that message today. Get out of Sodom. Amen.
Amen.
They carried the message to Lot, but they didn't stop there. You look back in that Bible, not only did they carry it to Lot, but they carried a message to Mary. I talked to you all about that just a moment ago. The angel Gabriel came and he gave her what the Bible called glad tidings, that she would give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, that Bible said it was a steadfast message, and it came to pass on the money. Hey, friend, when Philip over there in Acts chapter 8, when he was sitting up there in Jerusalem with the church at Jerusalem, all of a sudden the Bible said that an angel came to him. I never really had paid much attention to that, Brother Ross, but I saw it as I was studying this week. The Bible said an angel came to Philip there in Acts chapter 8, and he said to Philip, he said, "I want you to go down to Gaza, because there's an old Ethiopian eunuch down there, and he's reading Isaiah 53.
Amen.
He's seeking after the true and living God. He wants to get saved,
Amen.
And I want you to go down there and tell him how to get saved." You say, what happened? He said right there, the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Amen. You know what happened? Philip got up. He went down to Gaza. And when he got down there to Gaza, right where God told him to be, right at the very time God told him to get there, there was that Ethiopian eunuch, and he led him to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what are you saying? I'm telling you tonight, those angels carried some messages, and they were steadfast. They were sure. They were good messages. But I want to tell you that they paled in comparison. They were nothing in comparison to the message that Jesus Christ bore on this earth. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Glory to God tonight. Hallelujah tonight that Jesus saves sinners. He said, "Friend, verily, verily I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
Amen.
By the way, this ain't in the message tonight. This ain't in the message tonight. But you look at what he said right there at the end of verse 3. He said that was the message that was spoken by the Lord, right?
Amen.
But look how he finished it. "And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." Can I just say this? This may not fit along with the message real good, but I'm allowed to take at least one rabbit trail. Can I say what he's saying right there? He's saying the same message that Jesus preached, the same old gospel that Jesus said would save your soul over there in John. You want to know what he said? He said that same gospel was what was being preached by those who followed him. And they confirmed it to others who confirmed it to others. And you know what we ought to be preaching today? The same steadfast word that Jesus preached.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friend, I want to say tonight that He's better. He's better in His name. He's better in His sonship. He's better in His message. But I want to show you this lastly, and I'll be done. I see also that Jesus is better than the angels in His glory. You still got me. Got it there. We're going to look just a little bit more here. Look there at verse number 5 here in Hebrews chapter 2. "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, right now it don't look like Jesus is reigning. Right now he doesn't look very powerful. Right now it doesn't look like he's going to rule the world. But look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I tell you tonight, friend, I want to say that Jesus is better than the angels in his glory. I believe he's better in the glory of his work. You see, a lot of angels there in that Bible did a good work, didn't they? As a matter of fact, every angel you see in that book, they obeyed the Lord. They followed the Lord. They did exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. They carried the message that God gave them to carry, didn't they?
Amen.
And yet not one of them, not with all their power, not with all their might, not with all their glory, not one angel did such a glorious work as Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. You see there, friend, the angels, from time to time, they would save a man from danger. From time to time, they would carry a message of warning that would cause others to repent and turn to the Lord. And yet not one of them bore death for every man. Not one of them carried the weight of the cross. Not one of them suffered in this robe of flesh. The Bible said down there in verse number 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Wasn't that you? Weren't you subject to bondage? Weren't you under the power of the old devil who had the power of death over you? And yet you say, what did Jesus do? Jesus, when he hung on that cross, he bore death for you.
Amen.
He bore the pain for you. He bore the suffering for you and I, so that he might deliver us from the bondage of sin, from the corruption of sin, and from that dirty old devil that had us bound. I want to tell you tonight, friend, there ain't no angel that died for you. There's no angel that died in your place. There's no angel that could have bore your sin and mine. And yet Jesus Christ bore our sins in His mortal body that we might be saved. The Bible said, "But God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He's glorious in His work. Then I'll just say this. He's glorious in His reign. See, he told you right there in verse 5, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." But you see what he said down there in verse number 9? He said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, but get this, crowned with glory and honor." I tell you what, here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. But let me just finish up by saying this. Jesus is better than those angels in His very name, the name of Jesus. Jesus is better than the angels in His... Jesus is better than the angels not only in His name, but He is better than the angels even in His sonship, in His position. He is better than the angels in His message. But I believe He's better than those angels in His glory. See, the Lord has not made it to where even one of those angels is going to rule and reign with Christ one day. You want to know? I mean, listen, the only one, when it comes right down to it, the only one who's going to sit on the throne is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And yet, let me just say, that praise God, as sons born through the Son, we get to rule and reign with Him.
Amen.
I may not sit on the throne with Him, but I get to be part of His reign.
Right.
I'm going to say something. I believe what that verse is telling us, what that passage there in chapter 2 is telling us, is that even though we were made lower than the angels, even though Jesus came and robed Himself in human flesh, made Himself to be lower than the angels, one of these days, those angels ain't going to reign. They're not going to have the glory. But all those who believed on Him we're not only going to behold His glory, but we're going to be a part of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, friend, He's better. Better than the angels. Better than them in name. Better than them in position. Better than them in His message. But I say better than them in His very glory. Lord, I love You. I thank You for saving my soul. Thank You for giving me a home in heaven. Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, that we might glorify and honor Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I've tried to lift up His name this evening. I've tried to exalt Him to the best of my ability. Lord, I'm wore out. My voice is about gone. But, oh Lord, I'm trusting Your promise that Your strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, I just pray tonight, Father, You'd take my weakness. Pray You'd take this feeble message You've given me to preach, and You would use it to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, deal with hearts now. Bring people down to this old-fashioned altar and help them to get things right with You. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it, and for His sake. Amen and amen. If the Lord has dealt with your heart tonight, whatever it may be about, maybe you just want to come exalt Him. Maybe you just want to come praise Him. Hey, that would be perfectly fitting tonight. But maybe it's something else. I don't know your heart. I don't know what God's dealing with you about. But whatever it may be, let me just tell you, be honest with God. Obey the Lord tonight. And if He has dealt with your heart as we sing, why don't you come?